Mark, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this:
'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'"
They went away and found a colt tied near a door, outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting,
"Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And thank you, Tony. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is a special day. It's quite probable that this is the last service that we will have in this setting. For those of you that can't resist, and even those that can resist, you're welcome to take a peek and see what's going on in the other room. We anticipate being back in the sanctuary sometime later this week, targeting Monday, Thursday, but we'll see how that goes. It's also special because today we are entering Holy Week. The week begins with Palm Sunday, and it ends with Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These two holy days are the bookends that are notable for their joy, their excitement, and the glory of God. The days in between are marked with intimate communal activity, fear, anxiety, betrayal, guilt, suffering and agony. But today, we focus on today, Palm Sunday. It's difficult to share anything new about this day because the scriptures chosen for Palm Sunday are basically the same every single year. They vary between two different processional gospels, but the Old Testament reading, the Philippians, it's the same every year. So it's kind of a struggle to come up with something new and exciting. Exciting for me to tell you and exciting for you to hear. Like most of us, Jesus prepared for this day. When we plan to take a trip or a move, there are certain steps that we take. We consult our calendars, and we choose a date. We set an itinerary as far as when we might leave and when we might arrive and what we need to do along the way. We choose that date, and we arrange for transportation. We'll fly, we'll drive, we'll take a train, we'll take a bus, we'll take a boat. Jesus did that. He had a colt in mind for his transportation. And we follow through to this goal. We, in hopes that we will get to where we're going when we think we're going to be there. And hopefully, we hear some encouraging words along the way. No one probably yelled Hosanna to us in an airport, but It would be nice if so. Where are you going? Or you're on your way home from Disney, I can tell by the ears. But it would be nice to hear encouraging words, and Jesus did that. He heard some encouraging words. Knowing that we will be absent, we ask others, maybe a neighbor or a family member, if they would care for our pets or look after our loved ones and those things that we care for. We ask someone to do that on our behalf. Jesus took all the necessary steps in this, his last entry into Jerusalem. When he entered the city that Sunday long ago, he was participating in a parable, not preaching, not teaching, but actually living out his message, living out the parable. His journey into Jerusalem mirrors his journey of his life. Humble from the beginning, born in a used manger, riding an inexperienced colt, eventually wearing a robe and crown that weren't his own, he was crucified on a recycled cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. He owned nothing. All the while, humble, serving, and yet living the life of God within. Even borrowing the image of us, the image of humanity, in order to die for our sins. As he traveled into the city, he was greeted with shouts of Hosanna. In Hebrew, it meant save now. Originally, it was meant as a prayer, but overuse had rendered it common, and it had lost most of that meaning. Its impact was more like, hurrah, dilly-dilly. We probably only use this word in church, and then mostly on Sunday. Fortunately for us, we reclaim the significance of Hosanna and its relation to the saving act of Christ's sacrifice. So we proudly proclaim Hosanna on this day, and any time we seek the help of God, we find it repeated in the great thanksgiving, in the holy, 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 as we acknowledge the saving act of sacraments. While shouts of Hosanna rang out honoring Jesus, another common element of a triumphant entry, an entry of a returning hero, an entry of a king, an entry of someone very important, was the pathway strewn with cloaks and branches. Palms, forming the basis for the name of this day. Though only the Gospel of John defines the branches as palms. It could be that other branches were used, but other Gospels may have included palms, but just not defined it as that. Palms were not grown in the area. They had to be imported for special events like honoring people and for festivals. In the paper yesterday, they indicated how there was a shortage of palms, that Cosgrave's had orders for 200,000 and they only got 10,000. We also import our palms, and we got ours, and we use these palms as a sign of honor and recognition of one who is deemed a king. I wonder about the crowd that day. Were they all fellow Jews in town for the Passover? Or had they just happened upon this entrance while heading to the temple? Some may have been followers. Some maybe made the journey with Jesus. Some were curiosity seekers. And even some just got caught up in the moment. To the people that were separated from the path, maybe 8, 10 people back, they probably couldn't even see what happened. Those of you in the back row cannot see what the children laid on the ground before you. You're distanced from it. But if the person in front of you yells Hosanna, you'll probably yell Hosanna. It's the thing to do. It reminds me of the Go Big Red chant where one person goes, Go Big Red, and then somewhere, way off in the distance, somebody yells, Go Big Red. There you go. Not necessarily knowing what's going on or being actively engaged in it, but respond anyway. So where are we on this triumphal day? Do we stand on the fringe of a crowd, just going through the motions? Or perhaps this day has some meaning for us. It elevates our mood. It's a happy day. Joyful people, children singing, great fellowship around a meal. Then there are those of us that know the rest of the story. A story of betrayal, a story of people so conflicted, they turn to condemnation in a matter of hours. How could they have done that? How can we do that? How can we shout Hosanna, share the peace, the sacraments, and hours later, act in a non-Christian way? The one constant in this event is the love of Jesus for us and for the Father. Despite knowing the crowd will turn against him, despite knowing that his inner circle will betray and deny him, he rides on. His love of us is constant today. It's constant through our doubts, our guilt, our questions, our failings. May our love for him on this day be as intentional as his love for us every day. Hosanna, he saves all, forever. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.